Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
What's happening, people? It's Blackademic Time with me, your host, Jordan. And we've got a really juicy show for you guys this week on It's All Blackademic. I'm really excited about the discussion we're going to be having this week. We're going to have a chat this week around smacking and forms of discipline within the Black community. And we will have parents on this discussion. So if you do see, we are still filming, as you can see online. So if you do see some kids in the background or you hear some crying and wailing, then you'll know where that crying and wailing is coming from. So just bear with us. To have this discussion, I'm joined by three fantastic guests. First of all, I'm joined by Nina Harrison, who is the host of the podcast Dope Black Mums. I'm also joined by Elliot Ray, who started the platform Music, Football and Fatherhood. And I've also got here Nikki Bangbade, who got to the final of Britain's Best Parent. Guys, how are we doing? Is everyone nice?
Good. Thank you.
Good. Thank you very much for joining me, guys. I appreciate your time today. Right. So first of all, let me just establish, let's just go straight into it. I'll start with you, Elliot. Are you a parent who smacks their child, has ever smacked their child? And if so, why? And if not, why not?
So I've got one daughter, and even though I've come close, there's been moments where I've been like, you know, to the end of my nerves and frustrated, but I never have. She's four, she's five soon, and I don't plan to. It's something that I thought about for a long time, and I'm not against smacking, don't get me wrong. I think there's a time and place for it, and sometimes children need it. I was smacked growing up. For me personally, I feel like in my situation now and who I am and with my daughter, that I don't feel like I need to. There's other ways of discipline that will come first, and hopefully that will be enough. But as I said, I'm not against it. I think there's a time and a place, and sometimes children do need strong discipline at home. And as long as it's controlled, you know, there's nothing wrong with it if it's controlled.
Nina, Elliot he hasn't smacked his child, but he's not necessarily against it. Where do you stand on smacking kids? I know you've got two beautiful children.
I do have two children. I think it's good to find another way. I think normalizing violence like that is really damaging. So I'm against any form of hitting. And I think there's plenty of ways that can be done. And I think often, obviously, parents are stronger and bigger than their children. We are capable of self-control. So I think it's kind of showing that the might and power is right. So I don't know, that message of if you're bigger, you can control somebody weaker. I don't know what we'd be doing, sending our children off to nursery, and what if they go and pick on a child that's weaker because they feel that they can, or they feel that that's how you get your message across, you feel that's how you make your point, or you feel that's how you can be heard.
So Nikki, some people may recognise you from your appearance on the programme Britain's Best Parent. You got to the final in that one, and you were very honest and open about the fact that you have and you do smack your children. Tell me a little bit about why this for you is a valid form of discipline.
So for me, smacking was, obviously, I'm Nigerian, I'm from a Nigerian household. So I think culture played a part in that. However, being Nigerian and then being brought up in the UK, so I was born here, lived here all my life, obviously the the culture here then influences it. And it was, we spoke about it, and it was just something we were going to use because it was just another form of discipline. It isn't the foundation, it's not the be all end all, it's just something we have used. And I totally understand the points that both Nina and Elliot have made. It's funny because my husband doesn't smack them. And I only really realized that last night. and again, it is all,
really?
My husband doesn't smack the kids. And even on the show, he said it, he was very clear. He was like, she will deal with it and she will talk to them. And so it's really funny because we only realized that yesterday. On top of that, when it comes to smacking them, it's always, as Elliot mentioned, it should be something that, I think it was Elliot that said, it should be something that's controlled. Anytime we have done it, mm-hmm. it's always been controlled. It's always a last resort, and it's also age appropriate. So my daughter, who's going to be 13, it's not going to happen, and she knows it. And we were having this conversation yesterday. My son, who's going to be 11, it wouldn't happen to him. He wouldn't get smacked. Whereas Ezra, he is 4. He may get smacked on the back of the legs or smacked on the hand, but there's always an explanation and it's always controlled. But then having said that, Ezra probably isn't going to get a smack. So I don't know if it's because he's the last born, I don't know. But yeah, so that's, but it, again, culture definitely influenced it, but we have made it our own, if that makes sense. But it isn't the be all end all and it's always a last resort.
Sure, yeah. So Nina, what's your response to that? Because you're someone that is vehemently against the idea of smacking their children or the fact that this should even be something that is considered. What's your response to that?
Well, I find it interesting that you have an age, isn't like it's age appropriate. So like above 6, they have a comprehension of what's good or bad. I think using that logic, maybe we could still try and talk or try all the other forms of discipline that you're using with children who are above it. I'm just not sure. Well, you know your children. I don't know if the children would understand the difference of I'm getting smacked, I'm 4, she or he's not getting smacked, he's 6. We've done the same thing wrong, or it. I don't know if that would be confusing. But obviously, if that works for you, brilliant.
And does anybody think that, you know, hitting kids, it blurs a line between discipline and abuse?
I always have to state that to me personally, smacking and hitting are totally different. I know some people class them as the same, but I don't, because I feel hitting goes into a whole, that's where it transfers and then becomes hitting and beating and abusing. We don't do that. It's a smack, like literally a smack, because I don't, especially, and like, I love what you said, Nina, because especially it's true when they're at certain ages, will they understand? And so for instance, maybe that's why I haven't smacked Ezra, because I don't want him to associate my hand with pain. So I'm not quick to smack him, and I wasn't quick to smack my kids. So I always just want to clarify that I don't believe smacking and hitting are the same, and they're not the same at all. And so, yeah, I just wanted to kind of add that.
Yeah, just to follow up from that, I agree. I think it's the language is similar, you know, smacking and hitting. Mm-hmm. I think when we're saying those, maybe in our minds we're thinking the same thing. But I think when a parent is applying discipline by smacking in a controlled way, be that a tap on the hand, a smack on the bum, but it's something where they're in control of their emotions, they're doing it at a level where it's proportionate to age and stuff like that, and it's not hurting the child to that extent, it's I guess sending a message. And I think that to hitting is something completely different, you know, hitting,
yeah,
the connotation of it, I guess, and then what you might think from the language is out of control, it's extreme violence, it's done to really cause a lot of pain. And I think, yeah, just being careful about that language really, and not and I know, yeah, that there's discussions around the legalities, you know, there's legalities against abuse, and that's what we would call hitting abuse. That is clearly wrong. So we do need to be careful to make sure we're not kind of talking, when we're talking smacking, we're going into that abuse stage. I think that is very, very different. You know, when I was younger and I was smacked, it was not abuse. It was, I probably deserved it a lot of the time. I probably needed it. And there's that whole thing of, you know, I turned out okay, and I guess we can debate about whether we did or didn't and how different we would have been. But yeah, I do believe when I was smacked growing up, it helped to an extent. It did help me understand the boundaries to a point where I wasn't listening to words and other things. And obviously that was a long time ago now, and things have moved on. But I would like to think if I ever did do that, I would do the same as my parents did, and my child would grow up, not necessarily appreciating it, but understanding it at least.
And the point was made earlier on by yourself, Elliot, that you know, about smacking the different boys to girls. Does anybody feel there's a difference in smacking their daughter to smacking their son? Or is it a case of there's a slight nuance there, or it's either you smack nobody, or, you know, your son and daughter can both be smacked?
Yeah, I might get in trouble for this. I was talking to my wife earlier about my views, and she was like, are you sure you want to say that out there in the public? But I haven't got a son, so I don't know. My stance is that I don't want to smack my children. And one of the reasons I don't want to smack my daughter is because I don't necessarily feel like I need to. I think we can discipline her in other ways. I don't want her to definitely associate beating with kind of what's right or wrong and the power dynamics that Nina was talking about. But another reason is because she's a little girl, and I don't want to make her feel like or experience and think it's okay for a man to put hands on her. If I had a boy, I would have all the reasons I explained about why I wouldn't want to smack him. But that kind of, it's my little girl, I don't know if we would be there. And this could be problematic, and I'm sure it's playing into gender stereotypes, and I completely understand it might be kind of me having to process and learn. And maybe if I had a little boy, I'd think differently. But I have to be honest and say, I would still not want to smack my boy. But the reason of, you know, of that I still have, that I have with my daughter, it will be different. It will be slightly different. And I don't know if that's problematic. You tell me.
Well, let me ask the ladies. Does anybody find that problematic?
I'll let Nina go.
I understand the reasoning. I just don't think any form of violence should be normalized. I think that reasoning could go with any person, and that could lead to being in a violent relationship, potentially, if that's normal. I understand from an emotional point of view that, of course, with your baby girl, of course, but I think that same passion is for every child, every gender. I think it's still potentially as damaging, you know, as traumatic. I don't know if that would cause a child to be fearful of their parent. Would that then lead into trust? Could the child come and talk to you at every single junction of their life? Are those doors always open? So, yeah, I understand why you'd say that, but I would go across the board for all children.
You know, it's funny.
Nicely put.
I get what Nina's saying in terms of, because that was something that some people have kind of brought up, like, will it make your children scared of you and that sort of thing, if you are, especially as the older person and the adult. My kids are not scared of me, like, at all. And I think I mentioned it already. Last night I was talking to them about doing this, and my daughter was like, and both of them, both my daughter and my second son, they were like, do it, like, and show them. My kids know that we are firm, but we're fair, and this is a free space, and they can tell us whatever, they can be whatever, they are free.
So let me just push back on that point you make there. Do you have any concern that maybe your kids are too fearful to tell you that they fear you?
No, not. So this is how it, literally to the point where when people that are around, because our house is usually, apart from other than COVID, our house is usually really open. So when people found out we were doing the show and they found out what our theme was, they were like, you guys, like, strict, like, smacking. And it was, because it's just smacking plays such a small part. But then on top of that, our children have not, they haven't come out these fearful, timid kids who are not able to say. In fact, we've always encouraged them. They know it's a last resort. They know it's not something mum, I'm going to go straight into. So yeah, I don't think it's a thing of they're like, oh, I can't really tell them how I'm feeling. Like, nah, our house is just, it's literally, they have that free space to do and say as they like. There's no, if they tell me this, they're going to get a smack for that, or they're going to get, it's the last resort. And the other thing is, I totally get what Elliot was saying in terms of smacking. Because like I said last night, I didn't realize my husband doesn't smack. I do it. I'm the one that does it. But yeah, my kids are not. I don't think smacking is for everybody, because we, like I said, there are certain things we do and there are certain boundaries we have and parameters we've put in place. So a smack, like if I was to, and this is how it works, if I was to flip out, just being real, if I was to suddenly flip out and try and smack the kids, my husband would never, he would just, if that was to happen, he would never stand there and just be like, yep, go ahead. And the same going for him. But I don't know if that's going to happen in every other environment. So there are certain things I always say, if you are going to add smacking into as a form of discipline, as one form of discipline, then there are certain things you have to do. If not, it's going to cross very easily into abuse and hitting. So.
And that's the worry, isn't it? What about all the other children who don't have parents with that mindset? That's the fear. If it's in your armor of discipline tools, then that would be my fear for those children.
Yeah. I honestly hear you, because I think I do get it, because that's what people instantly associate it with. Like, I saw so many things saying that we were the kids that beat, the parents that beat their kids. And we were like, but I can understand where that's come from. I get why people would straight away think that. And so we wanted to kind of show that that's not what it's all about. But again,
And on that point of, you mentioned earlier on, fear, we don't want our kids to fear us. Does anybody feel like that an element of fear from kids to their parents actually is important? There needs to be that level of fear that, listen, I'm your mum, I'm your dad, and what I say goes, and if you don't do the things you're supposed to do, there are consequences. How important is fear in that kind of dynamic?
I don't want to say fear. Fear, maybe in terms of, you know, that kind of means I'm scared to the point of, as we said, you don't want to approach your parents, you don't want to talk to them. I don't know about if fear is the word, but I think definitely a kind of a deep level of respect and an understanding of consequence is important. And that doesn't have to be smacking. So I'm talking outside of the smacking context here. I think children do need to understand that their parents are their parents and there's consequences for their actions, and they need to know the boundaries. And I think if young people don't have that growing up, it could be quite detrimental to them in terms of just going through life, navigating through school life, navigating through work life, and understanding how to behave in certain situations and having respect and whatnot. And I think, you know, so this is definitely outside of smacking. You don't have to smack your children to establish that. That can just be done via other means. Like, you know, my daughter's 4 now, and she'll know if she does something wrong, then we'll stop her watching PJ Masks or Paw Patrol, you know, or take away her walkie-talkies or something like that. And that's like the end of the world to her right now. Yeah, the walkie-talkies are everything. We're actually getting a dog next week, and I've been using that quite a lot at bedtime. Like, come on, go to bed. It's 9:30. She's just playing up. You want me to call the dog, sort of thing. And she'll know that. she'll know about boundaries. So I definitely think it's important, man. Like, you know, for me, I keep on talking about my upbringing, but I had that with my parents. And I think maybe we're going a little bit the other way now, where we're doing things that maybe take that away, and that could be a bit detrimental.
Well, I want to explore that, guys. I mean, how much do we feel that we are going too far the other way in terms of finding ways to discipline our children? And are we, want of a better phrase, breeding and growing a generation of children that, you know, it's not a phrase I like using too much because it doesn't mean anything, but snowflakes? Are we brooding a generation of young people that actually don't know about consequence and discipline and adhering to rules and a certain way of living their lives and having values?
Well, just because we're not beating, we think children are going to be unruly and go off the tracks.
Well, I'm wondering, do you think that we're seeing, or are you seeing a generation of young people who are maybe different to how we were? But I think we're all around a rough same kind of age group here. Are you seeing a difference in the younger generation coming through? And if so, is that for the better or for the worse? And how much is that linked to being smacked or not?
I think it's great to be given space to explore. I think generations below us, this is a fresh time. This is the first time we've been able to do half the things we've been able to do. So it's new for all of us. I think they have to be given space to dream, to explore. Or how will we have Black presidents? How will we have anybody pushing for higher than we could ever dream of? So I don't think it's a bad thing. I think we should encourage it, encourage to dream as big as humanly possible, bigger than my dad from Jamaica with no education trying to make a life. Yeah, I think we want to dream big as possible. And I think there's a place for respect. There's a place for understanding. There's a place for boundaries. But I think you want to encourage big thinking as often as possible.
Yeah, I agree with that. We did a video last week. My daughter did a video with her mum for a church Sunday school. And I'll send around a video after this, but throughout the video, it was like a half an hour long and she was basically bossing the whole situation. And it was really, really funny to see her mannerisms and the way she was basically telling her mum kind of what to do, really. And we sent that video around to like friends and family, and they were just like, wow, like you must be bringing up a child here who kind of has freedom to express themselves and you know, behave in ways that maybe we wouldn't have behaved in, because we would have thought, oh, am I allowed to say that kind of thing? And so I definitely, you know, what Nina's saying, I definitely feel like, you know, dream big completely. Like I'm on that 100%. I guess the point around you know, Jordan's point, are we raising snowflakes? It's not so much about their ambition and what they think they can believe at, what they can do out of life. It's maybe more like, are we preparing them for the realities of the world? And so I'm always in this weird space with my daughter where I'm like, I want to give you everything and I want you to express yourself and be creative and, you know, not necessarily argue with me, but debate with me and all that sort of stuff. But that kind of, that does go to sometimes we do things to keep her in a bubble sometimes, and we don't necessarily want her to experience any bad feelings at all. So for example, her first day back to our nursery was supposed to be last Wednesday, but her best friend wasn't going back till Thursday. So we kept her off for a day. We started her on Thursday rather than going back on Wednesday. And we did that at a detriment. Obviously we had to work and whatnot. It was another day that was quite tough at home. But we did that because we wanted her first day back to be with her best friend. And I was just thinking, you know, me and my wife were saying, I don't think our parents would have first had the luxury to do that, or maybe or thought about it so much. They would have just said, look, it's your first day back at school, go to school sort of thing. And so it's things like that where I'm always in that battle of thinking, now we can give her so much and we can, at her age, you know, shape her world to an extent. Do we do that too much? And maybe does she need to just experience life and life's kind of ups and downs at this age to prepare her better for when she's older?
Yeah, I think she needs to experience life. I think that's it. And it's difficult. Obviously, we want to protect them and this idea of a bubble, but that's not reality. We're not trying to raise happy children because the world isn't happy. We're not going into a happy space. They need to be able to cope with reality. So, for instance, if she had gone to nursery and her friend wasn't there, could she have made a new friend? Would she have found other people to play with? Would she have just had a day on her own and some me time? Like what could that have done? What would have changed? So I hear you, but I think there's a danger in just trying to create a happy space for your child, because you come out and get even more of a shock when it doesn't fall into place of how you think it is. You know, it's not the fairy tale that you may have understood.
Nikki, let me ask you this question. How much do you think us as Black people, how much do you think our parenting is shaped by the fact that we're in the West? And if so, do you think that's a more positive thing or negative thing? Because many of us come from the Caribbean originally or Africa. How much of how we parent our kids now here in Britain is shaped by, I suppose, some of the values and standards of Britain and the West?
For me personally, because obviously I know that so many, okay, we're all Black, but I think there are so many different aspects of that. Like, so there are different things that kind of influence what you do as a parent, and it's all down to the individual. But for us, well, yeah, I do believe culture shapes what you do. But I do believe, yes, being here in the West has played a part. Because, for instance, what you were saying, what Elliot said about, you know, his daughter is free to talk and that sort of thing. Growing up in a Nigerian household, and a lot of my friends can relate to that, you didn't necessarily have that. It was more of, you were spoken to, but you didn't speak. And this happened, and you will fear me. And, you know, it was that sort of narrative in the house. But then here, being raised here, there are things, obviously, I saw and I've taken, you know, my friends were like this with their parents, you know, I want to apply that. And I've seen this on EastEnders, I want to apply that, you know, just the different things, in your culture, the culture you are then raised in, they then impact it. And perhaps maybe that's the reason why, okay, we may smacking is part of our discipline style. However, we also allow a free space for our kids. Maybe had I been raised in Nigeria, that might not be the case, you know? So I do believe there is, if a person says, well, no, the West doesn't shape or doesn't influence their parenting style, I'll kind of look at you like, because, you know, I'm not doing it the way my parents did it. There are small elements that I've taken, but I'm not doing it completely like them because I wasn't raised in the same environment they were. Therefore, I'm not thinking the same way they were. I didn't have the same friends as them. You know, and when I talk to some of my other Nigerian friends in the way they're parenting their kids, I mean, even what they saw on the TV show, a lot of them were like, I'm doing the same thing. That's exactly like me. Mm. You know, I do that. So, yeah, I do think being here has shaped that. It's, call it a fusion, if you like. But maybe that's where the balance comes from. I don't know.
And what I want to know from all of you guys is, let's just be honest and real here. How many of us do we think use the cultural, I suppose, excuse as to why many of us do beat our kids? Because I'm sure in our circles, we all know those people that do smack their children, and I stress, sorry, smack, not beat, smack their children, and they'll say, oh, it's because I was always smacked, or, you know, back where I'm from, it's just what we do. How many of you guys have those friends or know those people? Use it as almost an excuse to be able to, whatever, it's always done to me, so, you know, I'm all right, so do it to my kids.
Yeah, I think lots of people use it as an excuse, but I think once you know better, you do better. So, you know, I would like to think people aren't taking up smoking as much as they were in the 80s, because now we know the risks of smoking. There's been decades of research about how detrimental beating kids is and how that can affect your relationship with your child and relationships moving forward. So I think people do use it as an excuse, and I think recognize that and then try and use other tools.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'll say from the people I've come across, I don't know if they necessarily use that excuse so much. I don't know, maybe it's just the people I'm around, but most of the people I know, if they do smack their children, is they've thought through why, you know, they're doing it for their own reasons. And of course, they will never know how much of their upbringing is subconsciously affected their thinking, so there is that. But from the conversations I have, people tend to have their, a bit like Nikki, like, you know, what Nikki's saying, they have their reasons, and they've thought through the pros and cons. And of course, yeah, it's kind of a legacy from their upbringing, but they seem to have their own reasons for it. I don't necessarily come across people now so much who are like, maybe they are, and they're pretending to have reasons. I don't know, but I haven't met anyone recently that just says, "Oh, because my parents did it, I do it."
I was going to say, you know, when I was younger, hands up, I was smacked and beaten, and I got it. I was one of those children that my mother, she smacked and beaten me. And one thing I was found quite interesting about the discipline in that form that I received from my mother was that she really owned it. And what I mean by that is, if I was playing up or if I did something that she deemed was wrong, it didn't matter if it was in the house or if it was in QuickSave. It didn't matter if it was in the car or if it was in Brixton Market. I was getting smacked regardless. Do you know what I mean? How much do you feel do social pressures determine when and if parents, you know, do smack their kids? Do you get the sense from some parents, maybe in some of your platforms in particular, you, Elliot and Nina, that people are kind of bound by social pressures to smack or not?
I would say definitely. I reckon there's more people that are smacking their children that aren't telling us. There's probably a whole gang of, mm-hmm. of parents that are smackers, and they're just doing it quietly, you know, not allowed to say, because obviously if you do come out and say that, people not only disagree with you, but people might judge your parenting and maybe think that you're a bad parent. And I don't necessarily think that is the case. You know, I think we shouldn't judge parents based on whether they smack or not. Obviously, you'll have your own reasons as to whether smacking is good or not. But obviously, as we know, parenting is much bigger than that. If we're taking smacking as something that has been done in a controlled environment and whatnot. So I definitely think there is social pressures and social norms. And I guess back in the day, and you know, where our parents were from, it was the norm there. So people probably did it maybe without thinking about an alternative. And maybe that was just what you did. So why wouldn't you? And now it's kind of gone, I guess, the other way, where the norm is not to. So if you are doing it, maybe you are thinking outside of the box in a way. So yeah, there's social, and it is interesting, isn't it? And, you know, I think we probably just need to have like this, just more safe spaces for those conversations, because it is important to learn from others. And to understand why people make the decisions they do. And as long as, you know, I like to have conversations with people, and if they have a reason for it and it works for them, who am I to kind of force my opinion? Of course, they might want to hear it, so I'll give it. But I think at the same time, just hearing from people who have different parenting styles is really good and healthy for us all to like learn about what we're doing.
And something else I also used to always hear when I was younger by other parents and kids was, wait till you get home and your father sees you. When you get home and your dad sees you, he's going to deal with you. I was thinking to myself, like I said earlier on, my mum wasn't, wait, I didn't grow up with my dad in terms of the household. So that wasn't an option for me anyway. But secondly, I think to myself, you're just, not only is that child, you're going to get beaten, but the fear of actually finishing shopping or finishing that journey home and building up to the beating itself. I thought to myself in later life, what psychological damage that could do to the kid, because it just kind of baffled me that you're giving this child an hour's worth of fear before he gets smacked or in some cases beaten. What do you guys think about that? And also the gender roles of Are we still in a time when dads are more expected to do the beating and the hard disciplining as opposed to the mothers, or is that phase literally long gone?
Yeah, well, I think Nikki's proving that that's long gone. Obviously, in their household, that's not happening. I think that fear is real. That's a real conversation. What I used to always find weird when I've talked about it is straight after the beating, you can't show any emotion, like, you know, fix up, stop, dry your tears. You can't do this. You can't do that. Where does that go? Where do those feelings go of like, you're just trying to have to pull it together. You can't even show that you're angry, show that you're sad, show that you've been hurt. What does that do to future relationships, to future communication with your parents? That I find weird. But yeah, that fear is real. Sitting on the bus or the train, waiting to get home, knowing that that's going to happen. That's real trauma. But Jordan, every time that happened to you, I suppose you still got beat for something else. So did it work, the beatings for you? Did you not do whatever you did?
It's a really interesting question, because 9 times out of 10, I didn't do it again. So I suppose technically it worked. But to your point about the build-up and the kind of trauma it builds in my head, maybe I was just lucky because I would always get beaten. But it was very clear, I was told by my mother, this is why I smacked/beat you. So maybe I just received it well and processed it well, and I didn't have that trauma, or maybe I don't think I do anyway. But I think for another person, maybe they did kind of carry that. A, they didn't learn the lesson, and beating became redundant for them. You're just smacking your child now for no reason because he or she's not learning the lesson. And I think that's when it's problematic.
Like, how does that child navigate the environment? Like you're wondering, oh my, am I going to get hit? What is time that time? If there's no consistency, then what to do? I just find it all inconsistent, which is massively problematic for children. If they're taking everything in, if they're just sponges, then where are the rules? Where are the boundaries? How do you know what to do next time?
You use the word inconsistent. Is it just lazy? Is it just lazy now? We just have to find, and use the phrase, those that know better should do better. Is it just a lazy form of discipline? And we just now have to find more emotional, intellectual, and mental ways of telling our kids that, no, what you're doing here is wrong. Or if you do this, these are the consequences. It's just a lazy form of parenting.
Well, I think like Nikki was saying, it's the last resort. But I think it's lazy. If that's what you're just going to straight off, it's lazy. Why you wouldn't resort to violence in any other sphere of your life. You can't just have an argument with your boss and then smack him. You'd be reprimanded. You wouldn't dare think of doing that. You'd be arrested, you'd be suspended, something would happen, right? But because of the power dynamic, you think it's okay to do that to a child. And then what do they have to come back with that? They don't have any time. There's no reasoning for them. They don't have any space to fight their case or discuss anything or to process anything. They're just potentially getting hit straight off. Like Nikki was saying, she's resorted, her children know it's the absolute last resort. And then it's obviously talked through.
Yeah.
I think it'll be interesting to know, like, with the majority of parents, you know, whether they are smacking outright, you know, and I would like to think, I don't know, maybe there's some data on this, but when parents do smack their children, what percentage of those are doing it as a kind of, this is the first thing we're doing, and, you know, that is lazy, of course. But I think, I would like to think, and I think we probably are talking about the minority there. I think the majority of parents, especially the ones I know, when they do smack, it's not the kind of first thing they go to. It is, as Nikki was saying, it's done in a thoughtful way, and things have been tried, and they're telling the reasons of why they're smacking their kid as well. I mean, I always remember, like, when I before we got married, we did marriage prep with our vicar, and he kind of talked to us about being married and what that's going to be like and how we should prepare for it. And before we had Eleni, we went to him and his wife for baby prep as well. And one of the things that he was saying was, you know, he had 3 kids, and if one was naughty, he'd just give a little tap on the hand and send them to the naughty step. And I guess, you know, is that, would we count that as smacking? Obviously it's physical touch. It doesn't necessarily hurt, but it's a message to say I've done something wrong. It's sort of like a sign sort of thing, you know. Do we class that as smacking? So I think when we're saying smacking, obviously there's nuance to it, and there's lots of different forms. And I think it might be a bit dangerous to assume that most parents are going to the hard smack as a first option. I would like to think, I'm sure that happens, and that may be even more on the abuse side. But most parents, I don't know if they're doing that.
But can the child differentiate from that? If there's any physical action, does the child understand whether it's a tap, whether it's a slap, whether it's a smack on the back of the head, whether it's a beat? What's the child's understanding of, oh, I can't flick or I can't reach my sister, this can happen? What do they think? Because when it's inflicted, your body still reacts the same, doesn't it? That fight or flight is still ignited in you, whatever happens.
I think in terms of that, like for us, we explain, and like I said, because it's age appropriate, they're always at an age where there is a clear explanation. No, okay.
Kids, there's the kids, there we go.
wait, it's just, told you.
It's all good.
Ezra, no.
We're almost done. We're almost done.
See, I knew it had to happen. Thank you, Kaiser. Shut the door, please. My Kaiser just came and took him. Was like, "Mommy's doing something."
I love it.
But I think again, age appropriate. There's always an explanation. Like we said, it's never a first resort. There's always the explanation, and obviously, you're not going to be explaining to a 2-year-old, right? I'm smacking you because they won't get it. And you can't explain to a 2-year-old, you're not to smack, and you're not to smack other people. And the reason I've done it is because it's a consequence. We don't want to have to use this consequence though. So, you know, I think with explanation comes understanding. But again, you can't do that with a 2-year-old. You can just about, we are just explaining that to Ezra. But like I've said, sure, Ezra doesn't get smacked. We use the stairs a lot for Ezra, or electronics being taken away.
I hear that. I want to just round off a couple more quick points. First of all, I mean, just kind of going back a little bit in terms of the idea that it's okay for parent to smack child, but adults shouldn't smack each other. I think Nina alluded to it a bit earlier on and how problematic that can be for later on in life in instilling values into young people and young kids. Does anybody think that that is something that should be considered more in terms of the overall message of what you're sending to your child? Then and there, yeah, they may not do that thing they did again, and they've learned that lesson, but the kind of psychological, again, and the kind of long-term impact that you're kind of instilling in your children is that smacking, this kind of form of violence is okay, but as adults, we don't punch each other, we don't smack each other.
I think it's a quick fix. I think, yes, it's an immediate fix. They stop that, whatever they're doing right then. I don't think it's a long-term solution. I'd like to see the research into what that leads to as adults. I think it's all down to our modeling and modeling behavior. I'm not saying I'm perfect at all, because this is hard to do, but they are taking in everything that we're doing. And there's that story of the pregnant dog who's got two broken hind legs, and she has her babies, and the babies come out and they've got four working legs, but they only walk on their front two legs because they're copying what their mother does. They don't even attempt to walk on their back legs, and their back legs are perfectly fine. So I think everything we're doing, children are taking it in. So yeah, it may be an immediate fix. They may immediately stop it, but the long-term effect, and the long-term effect for relationships with your children and relationships those children have, I'm sure it's damaging some way.
It's exactly that. What we model for the kids plays a massive part, because yeah, if the smacking is happening 0.25% of the time, what they're not, I don't think they're going to remember that, as opposed to what they're seeing me and their dad do on a daily basis. If they were out with us, and every time they're out with us, they are watching us lose our rag and abuse people and smack people, they're going to do it. And we see that in kids. We do. We see it. Yeah. We see when young kids are modeling, they are doing things they're not supposed to do at nursery. It's kind of like, okay, they've seen that somewhere. And so I think the story is just perfect because it's true. Kids are sponges and they are watching everything you do, which is why smacking cannot be a first resort, because ultimately that is what they're going to do. No matter how we always say it, more is caught than taught. So I think if it's a thing of it's always a last resort, it's something you're not doing all the time, they're more likely to remember what you've done on a daily basis than what you did once in a blue moon, especially if that was always done in a safe and controlled and, you know, ordered or parametered way. They're not going to be, I don't think they're going to be scarred from a smack, as opposed to every day seeing mum and dad just lose it and smack people. You know, I don't think they're going to be, they're going to pick up on our good character and the things we are doing, which is what we hope. So.
What do you think about the point, Elliot, that, you know, some parents should be allowed to smack their child, but yet probably don't like when our kids, they can't fight their siblings, and we don't like that. How does that kind of dynamic and that kind of that level of hypocrisy to some degree, how does that work?
I feel like with children, you know, they need to also know that adults can do some things that kids can't do. So for example, I put my daughter to bed at around 8 p.m. And I don't go to bed at 8 p.m. She knows I'm going downstairs to watch TV, you know, and, you know, when she's older, she'll be able to stay up later as well. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's always got to be that understanding that children are children, and there's certain things that adults have a privilege to be able to do. I'm not saying a privilege to be able to beat their children. I'm just thinking just in general, you know, adults and children are different. And I don't think there's anything wrong with a child understanding that the rules are different. I think on that point of it is difficult, and it is probably one of the reasons why I don't hit my daughter and I don't plan to hit future children, is one of those reasons. But I don't think necessarily that you can't navigate through that. So, you know, when I was younger, I got smacked occasionally. That's not something that I think of when I think of my childhood. I don't think of my parents and think, oh my gosh, that time they smacked me. Like, there was loads of other things, 99.9% of things that I remember over and above that, because your parents will role model loads of behaviors to you, and the smacking, the occasion, if it's an occasional time at maybe when you deserved it to an extent, I don't think that's going to be the lasting memory, and they're going to grow up scarred by that. But yeah, it's a complicated thing to navigate, isn't it? I think ultimately everyone will know their own children. And obviously we're all learning. We don't know, ultimately. We don't know what is best. We don't know that not smacking them at all is great. And we don't know that smacking them is great either. We've got to do what we think is best for our kids. Obviously, it's good to look at research and look at data and the psychological effects of things. But I think there are psychological effects to everything. And we as parents have got to take the responsibility for our own lives and our kids and make the best decision that we think are best for them.
I just want to merge to wrap it up now with merge two kind of points/questions. First of all, does anybody think that smacking your children should be made illegal? And secondly, I want our listeners and our viewers to kind of have a takeaway from this show. So the takeaway being, I want the three of you just briefly, what are the alternative ways in which you can get through to children? I mean, except that all children are different, every child is different, but what are the alternative ways of communicating with your child, right from wrong, and then growing up to be the rounded, intelligent, nice boys and girls you want them to be without smacking their kids?
I think how Nikki has explained how she is using hitting is great. My fear is not everybody is using it like that, or people are hitting or smacking and it's turning into beating and it's getting out of control. So for that reason, I think it should be illegal. I think for other forms of discipline, I think people have said like the naughty step or thinking time. I think you could restrict things. I think there's conversations. I think it's coming down to an understanding and having constant conversations, not just one conversation about why you didn't approve of something, But I think it's going back and back and back and talking about it again and showing it in different angles and showing it in different ways, so that they understand on every level.
So the illegal question is a big one. And I feel like if smacking was made illegal, that does open up a whole other set of challenges. Because, you know, when you're, I guess, when your parents are threatening to smack you as a child, what do? You say you're going to go call Childline and report them. And I think it could disrupt the power dynamics in the majority of families where there are healthy relationships already, but those power dynamics could be disrupted by making smacking illegal. And I would worry that in one hand, you're kind of having a blanket approach of making something illegal, and you're maybe causing a lot of other issues for the majority in trying to safeguard the minority. So obviously we need to safeguard the minority as well, so that's important. But is the blanket approach the right thing to do? I don't know. Is there other ways of safeguarding that minority better than we are at the moment? Probably. Don't know what the answers are, but maybe, I'm sure there's people doing work there. And it might come out that actually, by us not making it illegal, the detriment to that minority is so big that it outweighs some discomfort to the majority. So I don't know. I don't have a yes or no answer. I'd say
sit on the fence. Sit on the fence. Come on, give me an answer. I want a yes or a no. No fence sitting out here. Come on.
Oh yes and no. Okay, if you're going to ask me now, I'd say no.
There we go. And Nikki, finally.
Yeah, I don't think it should be made illegal. However, I do think there should be. I think things should be clearer, because at the moment I do think people don't know what constitutes, that's the right word, as, you know, smacking. Some people, I think, because the lines, for some people the lines are still quite blurred. So, well, I, you know, they'll hit a child, well, I smack my child, or they'll slap a child, or they'll beat a child. And it's like, let's have clear guidelines.
I believe that the law states that if you leave a mark, I think it says if you leave a mark, that is what constitutes, you know, something that is not legal. Do you know what I mean? Now, yeah, that's complicated in itself, because what if you mark easier than somebody else? Do you know what I mean? So, but that's what, yeah, I believe the law says. You know,
so that's what I don't, because you can, I still don't think that's clear enough, because some people might not bruise easily. They might not bruise easily. Some people might bruise easily. I just think it's not clear. So I feel like things need to be clearer for people, because, yeah, I just think things need to be clearer when it comes to legislation surrounding smacking. I don't think it should be made illegal, though, because I think it is, for us, it's worked well. It has worked. And if, you know, that isn't something people want to do, like Nina said, you know, having an environment where your kids feel free to talk, you know, talking to your children, giving them that space to talk, but then also building in this balance so they're not just these rude kids who don't understand authority or how to respect other people, whether it's people, property, differences, whatever. You know, still, we're, discipline isn't just smacking. There are so many ways to discipline a child, whether it's talking with them, you know, stares, you know, taking away electronics, that sort of thing. There are so many different things to do. I just think it requires looking into the different ways that are available to us. But yeah, easy way of saying it, I don't think it should be made illegal.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you. Just a sentence, guys. A question that I know many people are going to be wanting to ask, and I'm going to ask it as well. You know, no child is born bad. So is smacking a child a sign of failure on the parent's part? If you have to get to the point where you have to smack your child, does that say more about you as a parent than it does about the child? Just very briefly, I want to hear from all three of you. So, Elliot, you go first.
No, I think not every child is, of course, no child is born bad, but through their environment, they can do bad things. And not to say that smacking is always the answer, but I think children can be unruly. Sometimes kids can be naughty and they can do bad things, you know, and
that's, you can not, tell that's that not I'm a parent, right?
yeah, it's definitely not a failure of parenting, you know, like it's just kids, yeah, as I said, kids can be naughty, right? Like, and maybe they mean it. Sometimes they don't. And sometimes it's hard to distinguish between the two. Kids are very clever as well. So sometimes in life, I feel like we can sometimes place too much importance on our role and things. Sometimes the outcome of stuff is not always so much our input. There's lots of different environmental, societal factors that go into making any outcome. Children are part of that as well. So I definitely don't think we should judge parents on whether they are good parents if they have to then smack their children. It's about when they do smack their children, how are they doing that? That's more the question.
Does everyone agree that it's not a sign of failure on the parents' part? It's just it's consequential, and it's about the process as opposed to the doing it.
I think I think it would be amazing if we could walk into parenthood as enlightened beings and with all the answers, but obviously that's never going to happen. If we could walk in like that, I think we're walking into parenthood and finding our way. And I think this is what that is showing. I wouldn't say I think that's really, I think that's really a harsh word, but I do think it's down to us to take a second through every single possible option. I think that's down to us. And I think, like I said, if we were coming to this as enlightened beings, I'm not sure we'd make those choices.
And just briefly, Nikki, you agree?
I agree with what Elliot said. I don't think it's a show or a sign of you failed as a parent, depending on the way you were doing it. If it's a first resort and it's always that way, then maybe that's something you need to work out. But I don't think it's a sign of failure if you use smacking, use it along with other things. If that makes sense.
Thank you very much, guys. Nikki, Nina, and Elliot, thank you very much for your time on It's All Blackademic. I really enjoyed that discussion. Hopefully you guys out there did as well. Don't forget to check out all of our previous content and previous shows on our website, blackademic.com. We're across all the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and of course on our YouTube channel, Blackademic TV. Until next week, take care. Look after your people then. Peace.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.